Anybody for Sunday school?
Oh, right. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Well, did you turn that one button on?
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, that's good. There we go.
It's on. In the back, I got soft. My little girl singing it. Jesus Christ, and He all my praise, all my honor. A gift from God. Would please. Very first book in your Bible, very first story. Genesis chapter. Beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Upon the face of there is no accident, Father. There is no, they're here because you sent them. You've already had the opportunity to come, and these dear saints we've got to meet. I don't know each one that's here, but you, Father, you. Is anyone here today that doesn't know is their Lord and Savior, never has been born? I can't show them that. Only you can. By your Holy Ghost. Those that are saved, only you can meet that need. I know that. I'm conscious of that. Desire to see you do once again what you've done in the past, God. You still are the same God. God of Abraham, God of. You're not the God of the dead. You're the God of the living. And we look to you right now for the work that you're going to do, and we glorify you in advance.
Turn this on for backup. How's that? Between the two, we'll hopefully get you on. There you go.
Try it. Hopefully it don't squeal. You ever had that happen? That wakes up everybody in church. When that
microphone lets off the sound, those which were meditating
are wide awake. Okay, thank you. I've tore up stuff before church. I never mean to tear up anything. One time I was preaching, I got running down the church I pastored. I run down the aisle, came back up, and my suit coat, I don't have one on this morning, so I don't have to worry about it. But it got hung up on the pew and ripped my pocket clean off. Shoes, everything else can end up flying, but I'll be careful this morning. In Genesis 1, verse 1, it, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. If you ever read your Bible much, if you ever spent much time with God, one thing you know is this is the living Word of God. Every time you read this book, God will show you something He didn't show you before if you want to get something. This is the living Word. And oftentimes familiar passages such as Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, we're so familiar with it, we can read through it and miss what God has to give us. Well, I know God created heaven and earth. God created heaven and earth. Earth was out form. and move right on to the next thing, move on to the next thing. We miss that which is in front of us because we think we already know it. But I'm going to tell you, this last time I read this, God got all over me about this. Have you ever read verse 2 and wondered what in the world is that talking about?
It says,
in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, but then it says that the earth was without form and it was void.
It doesn't sound like anything else that God created. When God created man, wasn't man created as a full-grown man? He was created as a full. When God created the animals, each one of them was, they were created as they were grown. He created trees. He created all those things.
God created and they came in existence as full grown. But right here in verse 2, it says that the earth was without form and void. And I'm not going to get into the whole.
Theologians have argued about this. I've studied it out. And when it comes down to it, it really doesn't even matter.
But what many believe is something happened that was a catastrophe. Many believe that the devil and there was a
civilization on this earth before man was. And that actually what we read here in verse 1 and 2 is God recreating. I don't know if that's true or not.
But it doesn't matter.
Because God doesn't explain it to us. I had
a fellow we was talking about at one time.
He said, I've been studying this thing. What do you think about it? And I told him what I thought about it. And when we come to the conclusion, he disagreed with me. I disagreed with him. And I said, brother, what matter? It don't make a difference when it comes down to it. I've seen people get divided over simple Bible doctrines that don't amount to anything. What's important is Jesus Christ is Lord. People are dying and going to hell. He died to save sinners.
He rose again that we might be justified.
That's what's important. We're not to get off on these other things.
But right here, what hit me this time was,
and regardless of what brought it to this shape, it was in darkness. It was without form. It was void. And yet the Spirit of God moved. Amen. The Spirit of God moved.
And what God hit me with on that is the shape and condition of humanity today. Most people that I've run into along the way are exactly what we find in verse 2. Without form, what does that mean? To lie in waste. To be desolate. A desert.
Void. What does that mean? To be empty. Emptiness.
And I looked up the Hebrew word about the darkness.
It means
literally darkness.
But it also figuratively
means misery, destruction, sorrow, night, obscurity. Before I knew Christ, that was my life.
Before I knew Christ, everything was empty on the inside. Before I knew Him, I was void. I had no hope. I had no purpose. I had no meaning in my life. And it was all around me was darkness. That's all I knew
until God said, let there be light.
Let there be light. If you're here right now today, if you've come in here today inside of you, if you feel like your life is a vacuum, if you feel like inside of you this morning that you are empty. So, Brother Shaw, I am empty as a gun barrel. Nobody else knows that. Everybody thinks I'm happy. I tell you one thing. I've come into church before, shook people's hands, and inside of me, I was just as empty as could be, but I could put on a smile. How you doing, Brother Shaw? I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine, but inside, I'm dying. I'm going to tell you something.
If you're that way this morning, don't feel like you're alone. Don't feel like you're alone. And don't think that God doesn't understand. Because that emptiness, that darkness cannot stop the Spirit of God from moving. That's when the Spirit of God moves. I've studied revivals. I've read about revivals. I've studied great men of God like D.L. Moody, Jonathan Edwards,
George Whitfield, the great revivalists of years gone by, Charles Spurgeon. I know it doesn't matter the denominations, the fact that God used each one of those individuals. And when revival came, it came in the midst of darkness. When revival came, it came when things was horrible. It came when things was terrible. It came when things was a vacuum spiritually.
But yet the Spirit of God moved.
And that's my prayer this morning, that the Spirit of God would move on each and every heart. Because I know the weakness of my flesh. I know the weakness of me. I know I can do nothing that can help you for your eternal life. I know the one that helps you is God. He's the changer. He's the one that makes a difference. And if the Spirit of God doesn't move in this service today, all you're going to hear is a bunch of noise standing up here. I get loud. I get excited. I try to calm myself down. I try not to move
as much as I used to move, because I don't want to distract from what God wants to do. Reason I'm excited, because I know what it's like for the Spirit of God to move. I'm not telling you something.
And please don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid of the term, the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. Vance Havner, one of my favorite preachers.
And he said, oh no, he's going to break loose
this morning. He's probably going to be speaking in tongues or something, fall out. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I think got somebody scared now. No. Vance Havner made a great statement. He said, because every Bible doctrine has been carried to an excessive manner one way or another, many times we're afraid that we might get out on a limb and we never go up the tree. just because somebody takes something and distorts it does not mean we should be afraid of it. It's by the Spirit of God that we're brought under conviction. It's by the Spirit of God that we get salvation. If the Holy Ghost has never dealt with you, if the Holy Ghost has never moved upon you, you've never been saved. Because it's the Spirit of God. And Jesus told him in John chapter 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove thee of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. He's the one that shows us our need. And what's wrong with church today in America? We're doing the work without him. Most churches would never miss a step if the Holy Ghost never showed up again. Because we've got it all, we've got it laid out. Whether we have a bulletin or not, we know exactly how it's supposed to do. We open with prayer, we have a song, then we have prayer, then we take an offering, then we have a song, and then the preacher gets up, and then we go home. I've been in church over 20 years. That's how we do it. That's just how we do it. And don't you ever miss one of those. Wait a minute. He didn't pray at the right spot. He missed. He forgot. You left that out. Right? If you haven't been to church like that, he done forgot. I tell you what, I ain't never going back again. He done messed it up. It's not about that. It's about him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting and coming to see him come and do something for each and every one of us. I came today hoping that the Holy Ghost moves on me, that God would speak to me, speak through me, that I might be a blessing first and foremost to him and then to you, that I might please him. What we're missing today as a church and as whole in America is a movement of the Spirit of God. That the Holy Ghost comes in and begins to shake sinners. That the Holy Ghost comes in and shakes Christians. That the Holy Ghost comes in. See, if you read the book of Acts, the church today doesn't look anything like it did in the book of Acts. They were rejoicing. They were praising God. And when they would pray, God moved. The place, the house was shaken. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Why? Because the Spirit of God. Because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Too many of us are filled
with the vacuum rather than filled with the Spirit. We need God. We need him more than the food that we eat.
Empty and desolate.
You ever wonder about
the Hollywood stars, the American dream? Hollywood stars got everything that we are told will make you happy. The American dream is to be, have money, have success, be popular, have a nice house, have money in the bank, have a fancy car. That is the American dream. That's success. Why do so many of them end up on drugs? Why do so many of them are drunkards? Why are so many of them jump from one relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship? And I'm not being ugly, but Elizabeth Taylor had it all. How many times was she married? Seven times.
One of them was the senator of Virginia.
That success did not bring happiness. That success did not bring fulfillment, because you wouldn't go to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. Why do you do that? Because you're looking for something. Was it old Johnny Lee sang that song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places? I know y'all have never heard that song, but I heard it a long time ago. A long
time ago, looking for love in all the wrong places. They've got it all, yet they have nothing. Because that can't fill
that vacuum on the inside. That nothing in this world can fill that emptiness on the inside. The only thing that can do that is God. The only one, and it takes Him moving and showing the darkness, revealing the darkness.
And like verse 3 says, when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water,
what followed the movement of the Spirit of God? And God said, let there be light. He said, Brother Shaw, I want light. It takes the Spirit of God moving on you before you get light. Amen. It takes the Spirit of God breathing on you, then God sends a light. I got to studying that out in the scripture.
I got to study when Christ came,
when He was born, when He
came, and the earth was in darkness when Jesus came. The religious sense of the world was just formalism.
You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, all of them religious hypocrites. They had just a show. They had a form of godliness, but they did not have the power. And when Christ came, God manifested in the flesh. The ones which should have seen Him didn't. You know who recognized Christ when He came? Those that were empty. Those that truly understand they had a need. Those that were lame. Those that were blind. Those that had sick loved ones. They recognized Him. But those that thought they were whole didn't see Him.
But before He came,
you know what God did? The Holy Ghost began to prepare a way for the light. I got to, oh man, that blessed my heart. And I hope it's a blessing to you. John the Baptist, before he was born, God gave a prophecy to his mama. He said, listen, your son's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. He's going to make a way for the Son of God. And when Elizabeth met Mary, John the Baptist was 6 months along in his mama's womb. And when Mary came to her and told her about her dream, you know what John did before he was ever born? He leaped in his mama's womb. He was filled with the Holy Ghost before he was born.
Rejoicing.
What was he doing? He was making way for the light. The Holy Ghost was making a way for the light to come. Then after John was born, then
Jesus
was born 6 months later. Oh my goodness. A man by the name of Simeon, an old man. God had showed him he wasn't going to die until he saw the salvation of Israel. And the Bible says that Simeon was filled with the Holy Ghost. And God led him into the temple. And study me out. Don't just take my word for it. Get in the book of Luke and you read. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. Simeon came in that temple and God said, that's him. He looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, mine eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. I can go in peace. I can die in peace. He is the light. The light. The light. What do we need? We need
the Spirit of God to make way for the light. Dry bones. How many of you ever read Ezekiel chapter 37 about the valley of dry bones? Them bones and bones,
them dry bones. I feel like that many times when I preach.
When God told Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said, God,
only you know.
I've had people look at me, I get up and pray.
priest ain't looking at me like, Lord, have mercy. Go right ahead. Bless me if you can. Right, let's go. Bless me if you can. Go ahead. Do whatever you jump around. Do whatever you want to do. I ain't going to move. I shall not be moved. I shall not be.
A valley dry bones.
God said, okay, Ezekiel, preach to them. Prophesy to these bones. He preached. The bones came together. Sinews came up on it. Skin came up on it. The
Bible says they were an army standing up, but there was no breath in them.
And God told him, prophesy to the wind. Preach to the wind. Come, north wind, south wind, east wind, west wind. Come and breathe upon these that are slain. And God explains farther down that wind, that breath, is the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. In order to be an army for God, in order to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus told the disciples? See, darkness precedes the light. Jesus, when he was preaching down here, he began to heal people. He would touch lives. And you know what? Multitudes came, didn't they? He fed the 4,000. He fed the 5,000. Multitudes surrounded themselves to Christ until he went to Calvary. Then the multitudes turned on Christ, rejected him. He was crucified. He was buried, rose again the third day. It went from thousands, and you know how many was left of the church? 120, Acts chapter 1. 120 discouraged disciples in the upper room. And when Jesus left, he said this to them, but ye shall receive power. When? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to do what I've called you to do. It was dark for them. But when the Holy Ghost came, he came as a rushing mighty wind. He came upon those disciples. They spoke with other tongues, went out there and preached. He said, what was those other tongues, Brother Shaw? It explains it in Acts chapter 2. They were speaking the other languages of the people that were there. You had people from all over the world, and they heard their language. They said, how can these unlearned and ignorant men, how can they be preaching us in our own language? It was the Spirit of God shaking some people. It was the Spirit of God coming through, moving through humanity. And 3,000 people got saved. Why? Because the Spirit of God moved.
That was almost 2,000 years ago. God isn't done moving. I see a lot of discouraged and defeated Christians today. Why? Because they're not filled with the Spirit. I know this world is dark. I know there's sin on every hand, but it's nothing that God can't change.
Nothing that God can't change.
God's allowed me to see him do some things. God's allowed me to experience him doing some things.
You know what got me out of sin? You know what saved my soul from hell? It was the Holy Ghost of God coming by and hovering and moving upon me. That's what changed me. It wasn't a motivational speaker. It wasn't somebody that was saying, you can be a better you. It was God, the Holy Ghost said, son, you're on your way to hell. You're going to burn in hell for all eternity. I died that I might redeem you from that. You don't have to burn forever. The Spirit of God shook me. And I think I told this the last time I was here. I sat in there. I wasn't at church. I was at home watching a preaching video that somebody gave me. But people were praying and the Spirit of God was dealing with me and I didn't even realize it. When I studied that word moved upon, it means that like hovering. Different translation will say hovering. It will say to shake. That's what we need. See, I can take somebody and shake them physically and say, you need to get saved, you need to get born again. It ain't going to do nothing. But when he does it, oh, the difference. My mama was dragging me into church for over a year, making me sit there and hearing that man yell at me, making me go. And I hated it. I hated it.
I didn't like it.
Let me out of here. I can't wait to get to the buffet. I come not to get in. I came to get out. I came because mama made me. But when the Spirit of God came, God shook me. He showed me I was lost. He showed me I was on my way to hell. He showed me my little baptism certificate by going to that little church and the preacher dipped me in the water. Won't going to save me.
Just a piece of paper and just a nice man
shaking my hand. It was the Holy Ghost showed me that. And when he shook me, showed me I was lost on my way to hell. I went back in the bedroom. I got down on my knees. Nobody was there but him. I'd heard the word. It had been planted and planted and planted. And then it bore fruit. Why? Because the Spirit of God moved. I got down on my knees and said, God, I ask you to save me from hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. I knew I deserved it. I knew I'd sinned against a holy and a righteous God. I deserved to burn in hell for all eternity. And I asked him to save me. I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God came. He saved my soul. All I'd known was sin. All I knew was a drunkard's background. All I knew was a wicked lifestyle. But when God comes, he makes the difference. He saved me. He changed me. He did it. He did it. As a senior year of high school, went back to school, acted like I
went back to school that next, it was Sunday afternoon when I got saved,
went to school Monday morning, girl picked me up that I used to hang out with, another guy that I used to run around with, I got in the car and I said, God, he's real. They weren't quite as excited about it as I was. They said, hold on. I said, man, I broke up all my heavy metal tapes yesterday. I broke them up. I took my brass knuckles out and I broke them up. I ain't on my way to hell no more. I don't want to sing about it. God came in.
I went to school
back in the classroom with some of my old friends and they got talking bad. They got to talking bad. And I throwed out one of them bad words I used to use all the time. But something was different. It bothers me when people claim to be saved and they're never under conviction for their sin. I didn't have a preacher telling me, you're not supposed to cuss. You know who told me that? The Holy Ghost. Because when I said a bad word, there was a grief inside of me that was never there before. I was like, wow. We all know it's wrong. But I never knew it was wrong like that before. You know why? Because it was the Spirit of God chastening me,
reproving me of sin.
That's missing in the church today. Amen. We justify sin rather than repent of it.
We need more than just lectures and knowledge of the word. We need the Spirit of God to make it come alive.
I remember we had a youth rally at our little church in... Oh, my gracious.
I'll hurry.
I passed the church and we started the church and God dealt with me by having a youth rally. We said, we're going to have a youth rally at our church. We started making all kinds of plans. We rented the middle school. We was going to have all these outside activities. We rented a moon bounce, rented this great big thing. We had all kinds of stuff, a cotton candy machine. We had just tons of stuff to try to get the kids to come. Went out, handed out flyers, excited, praying. Oh, God, I ask you to do a mighty work. Fasting, seeking God. Youth rally weekend came. We were prepared. We were ready, praying, seeking God, believing him. And it poured the rain. I said, hold on, God. We're doing this for you. We're doing this for you, Lord. I mean, this is getting messed up. Who controls the rain? God does. Did God need our little activities to do the work he wanted to do? No, I found that out. He didn't need my help at all. We were praying. I remember the day of the youth rally. We went out there, and when I talk about rain, I mean rain. There won't no, you don't put the moon bouts. And we had the middle school, and I went to the custodian. I said, listen, we got all this stuff. And we rented it. That's where we met at. He said, listen, I'm here. This whole school is yours. Set it up in the gym. I said, thank you, Lord. We brought all that stuff in. We set it up in the gym. Kids begin to come in. We had a teenage girl, 15 years old, invite 15 kids came with her. 15 came with her. And we began to go, and man, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. It was coming. And there was a bunch of kids. We went outside. It was cooking hot dogs outside. And there was a bunch of kids from the trailer park. They come over, and they were playing football in the backfield. I said, hi. And they was playing in the rain. I mean, growing up in Savannah Heights, we played in the rain. We played in the mud. It's fun playing football in the mud. I mean, it is fun. Coming home, nasty. Mama said, take them clothes off before you come in this house. I don't care. You come out and you come in your drawers, whatever. This is...
You ain't bringing nasty
in here. And they were out there playing. They were playing. I went out there and said, hey, won't y'all come inside? We got food. We got cotton. Come on in. They said, really? I said, yeah, come on in. So they came in. They got the hot dogs. Got their stuff. We got all the... And they were eating. And then church service was going to start. And they head out the door. And I said, Lord, this is what it's all about, helping them. If they only got candy and food, that isn't what... We want them to get spiritual food. I remember I run outside there. I said, hey, y'all, don't leave. Don't leave. We're getting ready to have service. Don't leave now. And they looked at me and said, we're just going to play a little bit more. And I know that look. We'll be back preaching. It's all right.
I said, no, you ain't.
You ain't coming back. I know you ain't coming back. I'm going to give you right now what we're here about. Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to give you the gospel. They said, come on, man. And I jumped up in the window and I began to preach. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God, he came to save your soul from hell. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. And just begin, because it's the word of God and the spirit of God that does the work. It wasn't my fancy illustration. I just gave them scripture and preached the gospel to them. And I came out the window, shook their hands, said, thank you for your time. Have a good day. And that one, I remember one boy's look on his face was like, wow. Wow. What happened? The Holy Ghost got on them boys. We started having our service. I went inside. I was like, God, that's... And all of a sudden, Shelly can tell you, one after the other, they began to come back in the back door. They were covered with mud. They were nasty. We gave them T-shirts that we had made for the youth rally. We gave them clothes. Come on in. And they sat up in the benches. And Brother Jason began to preach. God, get a hold of them. God, you got me at 17. I pray you get these boys. Jason preached the gospel. The Holy Ghost came. We didn't even have a song service. We didn't even have a piano in there. See, we wasn't working on their emotions. We wasn't trying to manipulate their mind. We were depending on God. And what did he do? Jason gave the invitation. We didn't do, if every head bowed, every eye closed, raise your hand, don't let nobody see you. He said, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. Brother Jason said, if there's anyone here today that wants to trust Christ as your Savior, anybody here wants to be born again, I ask you to step out. And I'm going to talk teenagers now. I ask you to step out and come down here out of the bleachers. These kids didn't know us.
They'd never been around us. But it wasn't about us. It was about the Lord. And we began to watch one after the other, after the other, after the other. They came down. And to tell you the truth, I didn't even know what to do. I said, Lord, glory to God. Come on. And we brought them back, and I sat them down, and I went through the gospel again. I said, best way you know, when it comes about leading somebody to Christ, said, God is the one that saves the soul. God is the one that changes the life. And I like people when they come to Christ. I don't like saying, repeat after me. You talk to God the best way you know how. Because that's what I did. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Y'all pray. And to hear them young people, oh God, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Lord, forgive me of the things that the Lord saved me. Oh God, save me. He still can do it, folks. God's still in the saving business. But it's the Spirit of God that does the work. And God can work through each and every one of us. But we need to be filled with the Spirit of God when we give the Word of God. Or it can be death and not life. This book is a sword. But we're not to cut people's head off with it. We're here as a surgeon. To show them their need and to show them there's hope. To cut the chains of sin.
This past April, that's one reason.
Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. That clock is right, isn't it?
Okay.
I got to go.
I got so many illustrations I want to give, but I can't. What I want to
encourage you is don't be discouraged. God's still able. And in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ, when he came to Nazareth, the reason he could not do many mighty works there, it wasn't because he was powerless. It wasn't because he wasn't God. Jesus did all kinds of miracles. But when he came to Nazareth, the Bible says he could not do many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. If we don't believe God can do it anymore, he won't. He has conditioned this on us having faith in him.
Faith ought to move us, and faith ought to... We know God can do anything.
Do we? We say it, but do we pray that way? Believing God can still save souls? Or do we pray defeated? Lord, this is the last days. Lord, man, things are terrible. Things are horrible. I mean, everything's going bad around us. And that's when God does the greatest work. Jesus came, it wasn't light, it was darkness. Hezekiah revival, his daddy was an ungodly, wicked king. His daddy had closed the doors to the temple. Ahaz was an ungodly man. Yet Hezekiah came on the throne 25 years old and revival broke out. It can change in just a moment. Do we believe God?
This past April, I believe in prayer and I believe in fasting. Our church, that's why I'm not antisocial by no means, but I love going to our church. As soon as we leave out of here, we're going to be blasting to Orange to go to Zion Baptist Church. Our pastor, what God dealt with, we have a jubilee every April. And that jubilee, what that is, it's like a revival meeting. But we have a 30 days of fasting. He has a sign-up sheet, and then just a different family or different person will sign up for each day. Say, listen, I will fast this day, praying that God would do a work at the Jubilee. Praying God would do the work. Seeking God. Every time you see the Holy Ghost move, you always see God's people praying. God's people praying. And we had our Jubilee in April, and it's a Monday through Thursday, and have a different preacher every night. And on Thursday night, Pastor Donaldson Jones from down in Alabama came up, and he was preaching the gospel. The songs of Zion was sung, God was glorified, the Holy Ghost was moving in the service. Invitation time came, Brother Harbin said, if anyone needs to come, you can come now.
And something happened that night I was not expecting. A 19-year-old girl stepped out, tears running down her face. Been in that church for a long time, had made a profession of faith. Tears running down her face. God has showed her she was lost on her way to hell. She had made a profession, but did not have the possession. She came forward crying and wanted to get saved. And then one, just like at the youth fair, one after the other. When teenagers move, folks, that's God. Teenagers today, folks, whether you know it or not, teenagers today are harder than most prisoners. And watching those young people come, they just begin to pour on the altar, tears rolling. And it wasn't just 2 minutes. It wasn't 3 minutes. They were on their faces crying, seeking God. I mean, our pastor was laying on his belly out there, praying with him down on his knees, saying,
"Why did you come?
Why did you come? I want to get saved." Now, you said that before. You said you already made a profession. But God showed me I am lost. Many of them done it before because their mom and daddy wanted them to. Many done it before. I don't know why. But that time it was real. My little girls, I bring them. They have grown up in church. Riley and Emma, the two oldest ones, have made professions. But if God deals with them at 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, I'm not going to say, "Well, you already done that." No, no, no. I want it to be real to them. I want my girls to know God. I don't care. I'm not worried. Don't embarrass me. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. No, no, no. I want them to know God. I want them to experience God like I've experienced God. I want them to know what it's like when the breeze of God blows on you and when you have communion with the Holy One of Israel. See, people, when it comes to prayer, if you've ever really prayed, there's nothing like it. When you've prayed and God has met with you and you're communing with the Holy God of the universe, and He's taking you up in His arm, He's holding you close to Him, there's nothing like it. When He's comforting you. Now close with this. God. The Bible calls Him the Comforter. I remember after I first got saved, I began to read my Bible. And I don't know if I said this last time. It don't matter if I did. We left my dad when I was 6 years old. I hadn't seen him since then. He was a crazy drunk and all that. That's the way he grew up, hating that mess. And after I got saved, I grew up not having a whole lot. And I remember one day I was up in the attic praying. I'd go anywhere I could, get by myself, talk to God. And I got my Bible and I read over in the book of Psalms where it said that He is a father to the fatherless. And it hit me and the Holy Ghost just came in, hugged me up close. Said, "I'm your daddy." I can say, "My father. He's my father." And I'm going to talk about getting real. Real, real, real. God's not dead. He's alive. Holy Ghost still is able to move. He's still able to touch lives. He's still able to do for you what I cannot do. Let's pray.